If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
And the American people are fed up. They want to go back to life. They want to go back to business. They want to go back to school without their children being forced to wear masks, to be put in the corner, to have mental health issues. And we're running around here, and the speaker comes down here at 10 o'clock in the morning saying, we got to wear masks in the people's house? While we've got thousands of people pouring across our border, and Democrats don't do a darn thing about it, heavily infected with COVID. We have the New York Times, okay, today. What a mess. CDC about to reverse on indoor masking for the vaccinated, quote unquote. This is some serious nanny state stuff that will only breed resentment. No kidding. Consider resentment being magnified right here on the floor of the House of Representatives. We are absolutely sick and tired of it, and so are the American people. This sham of an institution is doing nothing for the American people. Nothing for the betterment of the people that send their representatives here. I just met this morning with an organization that tries to take care of people from human trafficking. Met with an elected official from Mexico while cartels are raping and pillaging and killing. And we have people infected with COVID coming across our southern border into Texas. And you all put masks up front here on the people's house. We got to go around and see, okay, we can't come to the floor. I can't execute my constitutional duty unless I wear a mask. Which is it? Vaccines or masks? The vaccines work or they don't work.
He's not wrong. Nope. I think it's pretty safe to say that our congressman, Mayan Cain's, well, kind of our congressman, he's in our district. I consider him ours anyways from Texas. I mean, he's not wrong. That's just as others to it. I'm super crabby about this stuff today, so I'm just going to warn you, because we're like 2 weeks off from school starting and we have all of this garbage happening. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. So today's the crabby day where we sit around the table and we spill tea, right? That's exactly what we're going to do. Tea time. Get out y'all's teacups, as the kids say. And my kids hate when I say, as the kids say. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Good to be with you guys today. It's Thursday. We've almost made it through the week, guys. We're almost there. We're at the top. We are at the top of the mountain. And then we just got to coast down the rest of the way. Don't do that if you're driving a car, though. So it's good. We're hanging out today. It's good to be with you guys, as always, keeping each other sane. DanaLash.com. Sign up for that newsletter, chapter and verse, all kinds of good things coming out. And no apologies on the 1st, 5 Central, 6 Eastern. Download the Odyssey app, stream the show. I'm looking right now at a video of, and I'm making sure my volume's down because you never know, of exactly kind of what Chip Roy was talking about there. So it is a video of senior congressional Democrats who are, I guess, like in their little Democrat break room. None of them wearing masks. They're hanging out, talking, chilling, drinking some coffee. None of them are wearing masks. Now, here's what I don't understand either. So why is it that the House has to wear a mask? They have to wear masks, or we're going to arrest you and under threat of penalty. I mean, literally, they've been telling people they'll arrest them. But down the hall, in the Senate, down the hall, they don't have to. Down the hall. I was thinking about the science of this. The science of this being that the same thing like what we saw in restaurants, you know, where you had to wear your mask in the restaurant and then the virus was only contagious if you were standing up, because I guess it travels at a particular height in the air. But if you sat down at your table, then it was no longer contagious. You guys remember this? So I guess the same logic is applying because this virus apparently is only contagious on one side of the Capitol building. I just, you know, felt like, you know. So I have a million things for you. Like I said, I'm mad. I had a reporter ask me, so what are you telling? And then I'm just going to start it like this. And I'm sure, you know, I don't think that it was a malicious thing. This is what I hate the optics being centered around right now. Have you noticed every single story about vaccinations and particularly about anybody who talks about them? So there, people are mad at my friend Tucker because they are going after Tucker Carlson, saying make Tucker pay because he's responsible for the deaths of all these people, except he's never literally said anything to anybody and discouraged them from getting vaccinated. He's, I think, just like everyone else is, just do your own thing. I can't believe how many times I have to say this a day because statists are dumb. And that's not being mean. That's just an observation. I would be mean to sugarcoat it any more than I already have. But I had this, I had a reporter ask me a question. What am I telling all of you? Because there are millions of people, literal millions of people that listen to this program every day. And I don't even know what the exact number is that watch the simulcast that is on the first. And of course, it's streamed everywhere else, Facebook and YouTube, etc. But this radio program, and I'm not like tooting my own horn here. I'm setting up my answer to this question. I think what they, I think they average, they've measured it at like 10 million people a day tune into this program that's heard in hundreds of markets, hundreds of cities across the country. And it's, you know, one, it, this, you all are part of the top radio listening family, top radio show listening family in the country. And I had this reporter ask me, well, what are you telling all these people? You have one of the biggest shows in the nation. What are you telling all of these people who are tuning into your program? What are you telling them about vaccinations? And that was the question that followed the setup that, oh, well, you know, even some of the people on Fox are now starting to kind of convene around getting vaccinated. And there are a lot of other, there's some politicians like Ron DeSantis that have been encouraging vaccinations, which, by the way, Ron DeSantis just said, do you. So that's nice that people are trying to kind of, they're rushed and trying, because his answer was so perfect, they don't know what to do. And my first thought was, how is it my job? First off, it is incredibly, I think it's offensive for the same ideology that's running our government right now, that has the majority in Congress, the same ideology, to think that their refusal to keep a story straight and their bungling of messaging is somehow all y'all's fault. And I made that point to this reporter. I said, look, the messaging on the vaccine, on the rollout, has been politicized. It is a historical shambles. The advice is recklessly contradictory. And I'm going to get into a bunch of headlines here in a second. The absence of information is causing people to speculate. Here's the thing. I have not encouraged or discouraged anybody from getting the vaccine. My job on this issue as a host is to present to you every bit of fact, regardless of whether or not it confirms any narratives, regardless of whether or not the blockheaded, not really fact checkers at Facebook like it, but to give you every bit of evidence, regardless of narrative. And then here's the difference that I don't think a lot of people in media understand, because I can't tell you how many times I've been asked this about all of you. Unlike some of our colleagues on the left, I actually respect your decision-making capabilities. And I trust all of you to act in the best interest of yourselves and your families. I don't believe that any of you are going to sit here, well, how can I mess with my family today? I know. Let's not get that. No, nobody sits here and does this. I trust all of you who listen daily to act in your own best interests and the best interests of your family. And that's something that people can't seem to understand. So When I said that people are speculating in the absence of information and transparency, this is what I'm talking about. Do you remember we talked about this, the CDC, 335 kids, they said out of what, 7.5 million, or no, 75 million? 335 kids, oh, those are coronavirus fatalities. And then the Wall Street Journal raised their hand and said, no, we object. You got that. If you sign up to my newsletter and you get the subscription, then you got this already. You have this link. The Wall Street Journal partnered with Johns Hopkins, and they did a study where they said, actually, we've noticed that you haven't verified a single one of these fatalities. We noticed that you haven't verified any bit of this, any of this. And in fact, when we looked at it, we discovered that all 335, there are underlying comorbidities here that actually contributed to the fatalities and not coronavirus. So you're basing this mask, man, you're basing this all off of what? Well, it hasn't stopped. The Washington Post has now asked, hey, CDC, where's the data? And this is why. So the CDC, when they officially changed their position on masking, they said that their all of the data that they had on the Delta variant, that is what they based their decision on. Very important, everybody, they said. They're basing their decision on these facts. Okay, so Washington Post is like, all right, so where's the data, though? I'm looking at the story. Here's the headline. CDC reversal on indoor masking prompts experts to ask, where's the data? New recommendations from federal health officials this week on when vaccinated Americans should wear face masks came with a startling bolt of news. People who have had their shots and become infected with the Delta variant can harbor large amounts of virus just like unvaccinated people. That means that they could become spreaders of the disease and should return to wearing masks indoors in certain situations, including when vulnerable people are present. But the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention did not publish the new research. Here's the key. In the text of their updated masking guidance, and parenthetical here, it's at cdc.gov/mmwr/volumes, the agency merely cited, quote, CDC COVID-19 response team unpublished data 2021. Scientists have their own message. Show us the data. In fact, Greg Gonsalves, who is an associate professor at the Yale School of Public Health, says they're making a claim that people with Delta who are vaccinated and unvaccinated have similar levels of viral load, but nobody knows what that means. It's meaningless unless we see the data. Now, remember when Rochelle Walensky was talking to reporters just Tuesday and we played this audio, she kept going, remember she said new scientific data and we were like, well, where is it? They said, oh, it's going to be published imminently. So far, they say it's going to be published tomorrow. But here's the other shoe that's dropping. No one actually knows how much the one unnamed study cited factored into the CDC's decision-making process. And in fact, here's the other thing. It's now being suggested that what they're discussing, the CDC's, their credible health information, the study that they're trying to use to justify new mask rules. So the speculation on Twitter all last night and today is that apparently it looks like it was based on a non-US approved vaccine. Furthermore, some of the discussion from scientists and medical researchers today that I was looking at right before I actually came on air is that it was based on a vaccine that was only administered in India and was actually denied under review here in the United States for administration. Yet that's what the CDC, according to speculation from scientists and medical researchers out in public on social media, that's what they're saying is the citation that the CDC is using for their mask mandate. I have a ton of other things for you like this, and I want you to be prepared because the narrative battle, as you know, begins anew on cable news every night. We have a lot to discuss. We have a lot of guests today as well. We're going to be talking to my friend Charles Payne coming up. We're also going to be talking to my friend Stephen Gutowski because ATF nominee David Chipman, well, I told y'all gun control is racist, and he's proved it. So all of this and more to get into. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So just a reminder, the study that was on breakthrough infections cited by the CDC that justifies the whole change on masks, it was based on a vaccine not authorized in the U.S. Apparently, it was something that was done in India. And there is a huge piece at the Daily Caller about the origin of this. It was rejected. Remember, I said it was rejected by peer review here in the U.S., so they were not even going to allow for it to be administered. And it compared viral loads between variants and made no mention of the unvaccinated. So you tell me how that's science, or how that's even remotely a science-based decision. China has been spotted building yet another nuclear missile base after a silo complex was uncovered in the latest sign of significant arsenal expansion. China's constructing yet another new missile base. This is in the northern Xinjiang province. 14 missile silos are under construction at the 300 square mile site. It could include eventually up to 110 silos. Analysts now believe that China is in the midst of the biggest expansion of its nuclear arsenal on record. This comes after it actually threatened Japan with first use of nukes if they sent so much as one soldier to go and help Taiwan in the event of any kind of invasion by China. Interesting. There's a study found that European abortion laws limit abortion way earlier than Mississippi and a lot of other states, which is right at the heart of a Supreme Court case that SCOTUS is going to be hearing. My friend Charles Payne, he joins us next. We got a lot of discussion about inflation. Please tell me that hamburgers are not ever going to be $40, because that's one of my favorite sandwiches. Stay with us.
More Americans died from drug overdoses last year than any year on record. Yet parents and kids are not being educated on the crisis, and there seems to be no real plan to address it. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, former DEA official Derek Maltz joins me to discuss just how big a problem this really is and what can be done to fight back. Don't miss this really important conversation. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best things in life are free.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
As the reopening continues, bottlenecks, hiring difficulties, and other constraints could continue to limit how quickly supply can adjust, raising the possibility that inflation could turn out to be higher and more persistent than we expect. Our new framework for monetary policy emphasizes the importance of having well-anchored inflation expectations.
So that is the Fed's chair talking about how, yeah, it looks like inflation might be a little bit higher than we expect. And especially, honestly, to this, if you see Democrats succeeding in the trillions, actually, I think really, let's be honest about it, in new spending and everything that they're proposing that they're all fighting about in the Senate right now, I just can't imagine what kind of effect that would have. All I know is that you all and I do not want to have $40 hamburgers,
no.
Right? I mean, let's be real. We're like, how is this going to affect our kitchen table? Let's be honest about this. The expert on this, I love his show. His show is the only show that I actually record and have it on my DVR because there's some things I'm like, I don't understand this, and I need Charles to explain it. My friend Charles Payne, who, as you know, hosts his own show on Fox Business, and he graciously is on with us right before he's on air. Charles, good to talk with you, my friend. What are you worried about about inflation becoming higher than maybe we're all kind of girding our loins for right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, thank you for that beautiful introduction. Here's the thing. There's so many ways of measuring inflation, and I always try to tell people, remember that, right? Because when our paychecks inflate, we love it. When the value of our house inflates, we love it. You know, when the value of our stock portfolio inflates, we love it. But I think what the issue is right now is the artificial nature of why some of this is happening. Now, on one side, the Fed, you know, they're talking about supply chains and things like that. And that's a legitimate thing to talk about. You shut the entire world off. You hit a switch and you shut the entire global economy down. And then you later on, almost a year later, hit a switch and say, well, let's start it up again. Yeah, there's going to be some kinks in the system. I think more worrisome than that, and you were talking about this, is what shouldn't be happening. The trillions and trillions of dollars in excess that we've put out there. I mean, obviously, a year ago, we were in an emergency situation. Again, you make people not work. You got to give them a way to pay their bills. We all get that. But as we started to come out of this, as we started to get this V-shaped recovery, which began last summer, some of the more recent, quote-unquote, emergency measures were 1,000% unnecessary, and they made things worse. And so, yeah, someone's not working. You send them a bunch of money, and they go out and they spend it. It sends the prices higher. And what's really frustrating is for the people who decide they do want to work, they want to continue working. Well, guess what? They've got to pay those higher prices. Yeah. So, and now we've got $5.5-6 trillion that they are really, I mean, every day they say they're going to ram this through. I'm seeing little signs with Senator Sinema making me a little nervous. She's like, I'm not for it, but let's keep it moving along. Like, I've seen that movie before. And you know, it is really, really, I think, honestly, this kind of reminds me of Obamacare, and I've been doing some work on this because that was passed in March of that year, of the same year they had the midterms. And so they lost 63 House seats, which, by the way, was significantly more than a Republican revolution that Newt Gingrich led.
Yes.
And you remember President Obama at the time called it a shellacking.
Shellacking,
If they push this through, Dana, what they do to prices in this country, what they do to skew the normal business cycle and business environment in this country is political suicide and is economic suicide.
Oh, I can only imagine talking to my friend Charles Payne, host of his show on Fox Business. And of course, when do you think that some of this is really going to start kicking in? Because so far I see everyone speculating that this is going to probably all of the increases in prices for the stuff, you know, that, you know, everyday stuff that we all buy. This is going to be in definitely before Christmas, but we're going to be really feeling the pain during Christmas.
We are going to be feeling the pain during Christmas. You played a clip of Jerome Powell. I think one of the most compelling things he said yesterday, and I really didn't see anybody pick up on this, he explained what transitory means. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, think about this. If inflation went from 0 to 10 on a product, right, any product for any reason, and someone told you it was transitory, in your mind then it would come back down to 0. The way he explained it is, no, it's going to go to 0 to 10 and mostly stay at 10, but then it won't go up a lot after that. So, and that's scary, right? Right now we're kind of all thinking, well, like, you know, lumber went up and then it came down. Everything else would do that. No, he's saying that, no, it's going to go up. The transitory part isn't that it comes back down. It's just that it stops going up. So these prices, get used to them. And if you don't have wages that are going up to match it, you know what? You're in trouble. And on that note, by the way, wages are moving higher, but they are not matching it. And so far, every single month this year, wages, when you take into account inflation, are negative. They are down year over year, every single month.
Oh, man, this is not inspiring a lot of confidence. And I can only
imagine.
Everybody always judges that Christmas spending, too, is sort of like the marker for what the economy is going to do, you know, the next year. So I'm already just stealing myself for those headlines. Talking to my friend Charles Payne with Fox Business. One of the other big things, and this was trending, this has been trending online. This has to do with AMC, the whole idea of dark pools. And I know that there have been some folks that have been calling to suspend dark pools. And that's when they have these like little private exchanges that they do. They're trading on their securities trading on. There's been calls for the SEC to kind of shut those down. Do they have the ability to do that? And is that like a permanent, is that a permanent thing?
Well, they have the ability to do that. I think they have the ability to do it. Do they have the willpower to do it? If you think about every major issue in this country, when it comes to government oversight, it's typically the root source of it is the fact that you have a conveyor belt from people who work at these jobs, whether it's the SEC, the FAA, the FTC, whatever, any letter you want there, and then they go to the private sector. You know, why does the Securities and Exchange Commission never truly crack down on big brokerage firms? Because when they get out of those jobs, they want to go get a job at Goldman Sachs for $800,000 a year. You know, why didn't the FAA really crack down on Boeing? Well, you know, you make $90,000 a year at the FAA, you can get yourself a real good $650,000 a year gig at Boeing. And so at the SEC, they have the ability. Will they do it? That's the problem. And just think the name itself, Dark Pools.
That sounds like a horror film.
Scary. It's like, yeah, I mean, you look, put your head in there, you hear Vincent Price, right? Welcome to the Dark Pool. I mean, are you serious? Like, and this is what I'm supposed to have confidence with? You're telling me to go work real hard and then invest in, and, you know, I want to be a part of this. I want to invest. Yeah, I want to be an owner, but I'm going to do this. And then you mean that there's all the big people, all the citadels of the world with tens of billions of dollars, and they get to do transactions that we find out about later, if we ever find out about them at all?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It does. Yeah, that is, I mean, it is scary. But that's a really good point too about whether or not these folks are like with the SEC or elsewhere, whether they're going to get involved in this, and do they have the willpower to do it? Because you're right, and that's something that I hadn't considered. I mean, they want to be able to get some jobs after this. They're kind of also looking out for their own personal bottom line. Talking to our friend Charles Payne with Fox Business, and of course, you know, some the jobless numbers are out. I know that there's a lot of spin from the White House, and it seems like every time we get these jobless claims out, the White House is like, oh, this is great. I mean, it's above what we expected. But no, it's actually, you're already laughing. You're like, no, yeah. I'm not buying it.
Yeah. No. Let me tell you something. I don't know who's in charge of writing spin at the White House, but that person got writer's cramp this morning. 8:30, we got the initial jobless claims and the GDP report. And you want to talk about a dual disaster. This is scary stuff, Dana. They were talking about this second quarter GDP being almost 8.5%. Some were saying it was going to be double digit, 10% growth. It came in at 6.5%. That is a significant miss, a significant miss. The other side of that is how the heck are still, even after we've reopened the economy, 400,000 Americans saying, I need unemployment benefits. This is scary. This is, I'm telling you right now, this is where, you know, and Biden really has his hands full, because he's trying to have his cake and eat it too. You know, he wants to be the president who brags about jobs. You know, he inherited a V-shaped recovery. He inherited a tremendous amount of economic momentum. He wants to be that president, though, who takes credit for that, but also keep enough fear instilled inside of us that they can keep these emergency powers that push through, you know, $3, $4, or $5 trillion spending plans. He's in a pickle. Now, he's going to talk today at 4 o'clock about these mandatory mask and vaccination mandates. But he is in a real pickle, because if they shut this economy down again, it was amazing we recovered the way we did last time. But if they shut it down again, honestly, I'm not the type of person who gets afraid about anything. I would be afraid.
See, and that's where, and when Charles is afraid, that's when I'm like, okay, make sure I got all the stuff I need in my prepper pantry and everything ready to go. Because that's, I mean, it's true. I mean, if we go into another lockdown, which I don't think, I don't know. I don't know how. I mean, I'm sure some of them could be pressured. Some of these more, you know, some of these Republican governors who've been resistant to shutting their states down. But I do think that the federal government's going to try to find a way to pressure them. If it happens, what I think some people are saying, maybe they'll try to do it around October, which we would never be able. I don't think we'd ever be able to recover from another lockdown. No. Charles, I really don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think, you know, we've already pushed the envelope in terms of money printing. We certainly have pushed the envelope with respect to how we've changed the basic behavior of America. The ethos of our country are steeply rooted in the ability of each individual to go out there and succeed. It's something we have always taken pride on. We work hard. You know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps is why we, you know, we're able to just springboard over all these other nations that were around for thousands of years, this young upstart nation. And that has already begun to change. You know, earlier this week, the Dallas Fed put out a survey from business owners. When you read this thing, you want to cry. They cannot get people to work. And this is even after they've taken away the federal unemployment benefits. One guy said he has 10, usually 10 a week interviews. Only a third show up. He says almost every one of them are not hireable, but he still hires them anyway. And 95% quit in a month. Wow. You know, something is going on with us in terms of our work ethic, that famous American work ethic. So we shut down again. We tell people not to work anymore. We say, well, not to work anymore. I just think we're going to be derailed educational-wise. We talk about the achievement gap, particularly in urban cities. Mm-hmm. It's already like a three-year educational gap. I think from what we saw in the last year, it's going to be 4 or 5 years. It's going to be where... You know, these schemes like free community college, already a joke. Hey, if I got a fifth grade reading level, what the hell am I going to do with free community college? You know, so we cannot afford to shut down again.
Oh, I hear you. And that's a great point, too, about the academic gap with that. Charles Payne, Making Money with Charles Payne. Watch him on Fox Business. Find him at WStreet.com and at CV Payne on Twitter. Charles, my friend, thank you so much for bringing the common sense every
Same
single
here.
Day. We appreciate it.
Same here.
God bless.
If they
Take
shut
care.
It down, Dana, look out for me. I'll be right in your front door before you know it.
That's right. You come to Texas. You come to Texas. I'm ready. We got a stock freezer. We're ready to go. Take
right.
care.
See you later.
Bye. All right, folks, as we wind down this first broadcast hour, man, I didn't want to. Can you imagine? I'm already going to. Maybe I'll just do some little cursory orders here. Just, you know, add a couple more things to my little pantry. I just got another seed vault thing too. Yeah, I did. And by the way, be careful on buying any kind of seed vault stuff like online, except like directly from some of the people who do this, because they have marked those prices up like a ridiculous amount. Something that you could get, like a big seed vault thing that you could get for like $15, now is like they're charging like $75-$80 for this stuff. Be very careful about that. All right. I know, inflation and people taking advantage of an opportunity, which is kind of sad. All right, we have still a ton of stuff to get into as we finish up.
Shooting down woke culture, one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
That attack on the Capitol, you know, white supremacy and patriarchy are very linked in a lot of ways. There's a lot of sexualizing of that violence. And I didn't think that I was just going to be killed. I thought other things were going to happen to me as well.
So what sounds like what you're telling me right now is that you didn't only think that you were going to die, you thought you were going to be raped.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She was not even there. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. She wasn't even there. She was in a totally different building across four lanes. Oh my gosh, I've never seen anyone so thirsty for attention ever. You notice that no one ever talks about any kind of bill that she's co-sponsored, because I think she just treats the seat like it's an influencer, an Instagram influencer position. I mean, does anybody know? She doesn't really, she's not put on a bunch of committees even by Democratic leadership, even the far left ones, because she won't raise money for anybody. It's all about me, me, me. I mean, it's you kind of when you're in Congress and you're an elected official, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican, you kind of have to like help raise money and do some things. And she's just like, no, I'm just not going to do any of those things, but I'm going to make something that happened that I wasn't even at all about me. Oh, my gosh. I do not get along with chicks like that. at all. Like, I do not get along with overdramatic chicks. I do not get along with needy people. I do not. I just don't. I have zero tolerance for it, you know? Kane's laughing because you know it's true. Kane's seen it. He knows it's absolutely true. The needier, the more desperate for attention, I cannot deal. I just, there's something in me that just snaps. Can't deal with it. All right, so we have a lot on the way still. All of the latest as it relates to now, it's not just the people on the right that are criticizing the CDC. People on the left, and not just moderate left, are slamming the CDC, saying that their mask mandate is ridiculous, especially because it's based on something. It's based on the result of a vaccine that wasn't even approved for use in the United States. So we're going to get into more of that. And then some data on the Pfizer vaccine efficacy. Apparently, after 6 months, it slips to 84%. Now, this is where we get into third shots and fourth shots, maybe? Who knows? We've got that coming up. The economy. We got some woke, some law and order. And apparently, Joe Biden doesn't understand what Freudian means. Stick with us. Let's talk about trust, something that's important to do with so much defunding and canceling going on. Do you know that many wireless companies support left-wing causes that take away our freedoms and pare down our traditional beliefs? Patriot Mobile is different. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and plans to fit any budget. They donate hundreds of thousands of dollars each year to causes you and I care about, like First and Second Amendment rights, sanctity of life, supporting first responders and veterans. There's no better time than now when we celebrate our freedom and Independence Day to check out Patriot Mobile. Switch today and get even more value. $100 off any phone in stock with a one-year commitment or 50% off your first 2 months plus free premier activation. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based, highly rated customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Switch to Patriot Mobile, a company you can trust to support your values. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
I rise to continue our celebration of hot FERC summer. As climate activist Fergie would certainly say, the Fergalicious definition is to make our planet cooler. So listen up, y'all, because this is it. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, better
that's
known as the F to the E to
Representative
the R to the C,
Sean Casten, everybody. Federal agencies to Illinois 6th Congressional District. He's down with it, kids.
The cringe kept going.
Oh, no. Let's hear more cringe. Cringe.
Is one of the most important federal agencies to fight climate change. And if I'm doing this right, one few more of you are now keeping track of. Uh-huh. Having a well air-conditioned home when it's hot, that's Fergalicious.
Keeping
your electricity from the lowest cost reliable source, Fergalicious.
Oh, why do you
hate electric transmission system that keeps everything from electric vehicles to steel mills running with zero carbon electricity, Fergalicious.
Who hurt you? Who hurt you? Why are you doing this to us? I've never felt so violated. Oh my gosh. Who is this cat? This is Sean Casten. I love how Sean Casten went back to the early aughts to go and try to be relevant to the kids, right? Let's see. What's the last top 10 song that I know? Really? You had to go that far? Dude,
I was embarrassed for him.
Dude, it hurt me. I felt that.
Hearing it right now, I'm like getting flush in the face. I'm so embarrassed for him.
I'm really sorry to have to start your second hour like that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, danalash.com. And make sure you go and subscribe to the newsletter. Of course, also check out No Apologies on the First, 5 Central, 6 Eastern. That hurt me, man. I felt that. I felt that like I got, it's like I got, my soul got kicked in the neck. It was so, and I love the overpronunciation of people like him. Ferk. Oh, man. I can't even, did anybody, what was he talking about again? Weather? For the love. Don't play it again. We can't all do it again. We can't take it again. Oh, man.
With zero carbon electricity, Ferkalicious.
So. Honestly, I don't even, could some of the younger squad members, do they even know what that, maybe not. Oh my gosh. So welcome back to the show. We're so sorry to just hurt y'all like that. I mean, that was, it's not fair of us to do it. Whew. All right. So, there's no way to come back from that. When everybody's kids are going back to school soon, right? I think our school starts up in like 2 weeks, which I think the summer's been way too short. And it very much is. And I made mention of this in my rundown. I think we've been talking about this. I really do feel like everybody's trying to necessitate and claim that there's this. They're trying to establish some kind of, you know, say that there's a perpetual emergency to justify all of this stuff. So here you have, let me pull this up, Randy Weingarten. Now, remember, she's the head of the American Federations of Teachers. And she says, well, we're going to, you know, she wouldn't actually commit when she was being interviewed as to whether or not she would commit or, you know, agree with trying to reopen schools up after what they say is the CDC's curveball. So she was asked on MSNBC about this, and she wouldn't actually say whether or not schools would open. Listen to this audio somebody too.
Well, vaccination is the number one gold standard that we need to, you know, bring back our masks for schools. So the bottom line is we're going to keep kids safe. We're going to keep our members safe. And we're going to try to open up schools. And we're going to try to move through this political battlefield.
Try to open up schools. She doesn't have kids. You know that?
Yeah.
Try to open up schools. Try. I mean, this, and she knows that she has all of these union votes behind her, public sector unions. I'm not a fan of public sector unions. If people want to be have private unions, they want to unionize privately, I have no problem. Do whatever you're going to do, work it out with your business, whatever. Public sector unions? Oh, hell no. You know why? Because I'm the taxpayer. Y'all are the taxpayer. Where's our seat at the table? All we see are people like Randy Weingarten and politicians. I don't remember any politician coming and asking me to sit at the table with Randy Weingarten. Do you?
Nope.
When they were writing these CDC recommendations that are telling everybody's kids that you got to stay home last year, and now are now flirting with the idea of making your kids wear masks again, maybe shutting down schools again. Were any of you asked to sit at the table while politicians and Randy Weingarten were writing all this stuff? Because no one asked me. No one asked Kane.
Nope.
So, yeah, that's where my problem lies, because the people are always, always excluded from those negotiations with the public sector stuff.
We have that CDC audio from yesterday, the director audio talking about
Rochelle Walensky.
Yeah, they have no data.
Yeah, listen to this. I mean, and this is what we were talking about at the top of the hour. Listen.
Now, the Delta variant isn't making kids any sicker per se, is it? Because the statistics, as the studies have come back from children in COVID, from the UK, what did we learn there? Some 99.995% of the 470,000 children in England infected survived. I mean, that's an incredible survival rate. The Delta variant isn't making kids any sicker, is it?
We don't have any evidence that is doing so, and that's really great news.
What? And there you have it. So here's the thing, and I think this is huge. This indoor masking stuff, and I want to bring this up to you too, because Mayor Muriel Bowser just said, effective Saturday, July 31st at 5 a.m., and this is anywhere in D.C., she says, quote, beginning this Saturday at 5 a.m., I will issue the directive that people over the age of 2 must wear a mask indoors, regardless of their vaccination status. I know D.C. residents have been very closely following the public health guidelines, and they'll embrace this. Have you ever met a 3-year-old, Mayor Bowser? Have you ever met a 3-year-old?
Apparently not.
That is abusive. That is child abuse. Absolutely child abuse. Some rules, you know what? There's some stupid rules that deserve to be broken. That's so abusive. Have a 3-year-old. You have to wear a mask indoors. 6 feet of masks. Based on what? No science. This is what they're basing it on. And even the Washington Post, their tagline is democracy dies in darkness. It's basically the goth talk tagline with Chris Kattan off SNL. They're even demanding, where's your data? The only thing that the CDC cited as the basis for their new mask mandate, the only thing that they cited was this, quote, CDC COVID-19 response team, unpublished data, 2021. Now everyone from the Yale School of Public Health, Washington Post, everybody, they're all asking, so where's the data? Where's the data? Where's it at? Where are you getting this information from that you are trying to completely do a 180 on everything? And they're not being exactly forthcoming about that. I mean, we won't know unless the CDC decides to release any of this data. This is not based on science. This sounds like politicizing. And here's the other thing. The release that they had yesterday, the only thing that they showed, let me pull this up. The only thing that, and this is what everybody's basing this off of India, the only thing, data that the CDC used, it was a study from India, a singular study from India on this particular vax, and it was rejected after peer review on July 9th, 2021. So it's not even a reliable study. And it looks as though, I mean, is that what it's based on? I'm just trying to, and then so the AP, they're saying, well, there's even though the CDC didn't cite this, and if that's their bad, that's their bad. But they're saying that they were looking at data over the last couple of days from over 100 samples, and this comes from the Associated Press. They said over 100 samples from a number of states in one country. So one country is India. It is unpublished, and the CDC hasn't released it, but it's concerning enough that we feel like we have to act. So did they see the thing about the higher viral loads? And so they wanted to just gather some samples from some states here in the United States and try to corroborate this or somehow. They're not discussing any of this. And she said that the data that they were relying on when she was talking to, and this was from July 28th. So this was yesterday when she was talking to John Berman yesterday morning. She said that with prior variances, when people had rare breakthrough infections, we didn't see the capacity of them to spread the virus to others. When she was talking about the Delta variant, she said that there was data that was days old, which I guess that's not data that they haven't even cited in this. What the hell are they basing this on? I mean, this is incredibly important because there's, so I guess what the Delta infection, it gets past the vaccines. Is that what we're supposed to believe? And that the viral loads are similar to unvaccinated? Because that's what it sounds like. And if you wanted to go look, I will include this link for you in the prep. The website where the CDC has this report, you can actually go, when you go to cdc.gov, they have a tab up at the top under coronavirus and under COVID-19, and it's the science section, and it's science briefs. And it's the top on the left. It says COVID-19 vaccines and vaccinations. So when you go to cdc.gov, they have this blue bar under coronavirus. You go all the way to the right and to the tab that says science. Then you scroll down the left-hand side, and it's under science briefs. And it gets into where they still don't, it's still not named, but it gets into what all of the, they cite some of the stuff that they're basing previous decisions on. And so this is where everybody, this is where the AP and everyone else is drawing from this data that they've published here. But I mean, it shows, it's listed where it was rejected for peer review. I mean, I've got a lot of questions about this. None of this is transparent. It's super ridiculous. If it's confusing to you, it's confusing to everybody. And Washington Post piece, they're like, what are you basing this on? I get it. And the Washington Post, for them to say this, you know, because they're a bastion of conservative thought. That's, I think, incredibly significant. Now, you have, for instance, this California Globe. One L.A. doctor says that their county will close schools again, even for one case of COVID. That's what the L.A. County Department of Public Health. No exemptions for full indoor mask mandate for everyone. And they're getting ready to close down all the schools again. You can't make this stuff up. So whenever you're shamed about making decisions on anything, you're being shamed by the people who refuse to be transparent with you. You're being shamed by the people who refuse to give you a number of answers. And the people who are shaming you are people who are like, yeah, I'll believe whatever the government tells me. Yeah. They said it was all right. I'm just, you know, I'm sure it's fine. Because, you know, the government's never been wrong. And the government has never done anything science-wise that ever had an adverse effect on anyone, right? Tuskegee. Sorry, did I? It's allergies. We got a lot of stuff to get into still, folks, in the middle of our second hour. Coming up later on, my friend Steve Gutowski will join me because David Chipman, he is being accused of some stuff. Of course he is. This is the ATF, Biden's ATF nominee.
For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I had much chuckles over this piece from that was about NPR. So they're saying new NPR ethics policy. It's okay for journalists to demonstrate sometimes. So they have this pretty big update with their ethics policy, and they're stating that journalists can participate in activities that advocate for the freedom and dignity of human beings, both on social media and in real life. And I thought it was incredibly interesting because, and there were some people who were trying to say, oh, NPR doesn't get its money from the government, but it does, because the member stations of NPR absolutely do get government money. And they get, those member stations who get government money, they actually get their money from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting gets their money from the Internal Revenue Service, and the Internal Revenue Service gets their money from taxpayers. So yeah, they do.
Thank you.
I talk with my hands so much. And scene. So there you have it. So that, I just love how they're there, it's okay for us to basically do what we're doing anyway. So, San Francisco parents are rebelling. They are voting to remove wokesters from the school board. And they said that they're facing, school boards across the country are facing pressure, rightfully so, to scrap institutionalized Marxist racism from their curricula. And a lot of, and by the way, I know that the media likes to act like, oh, it's just white parents. But it's really interesting how all of the groups that are mentioned and everywhere from Virginia, Parents Defending Education and elsewhere, they're actually not led by white men at all, or white women. Just saying. And in fact, the lawsuit in my town that was going against the school board was from a Cuban family. So just FYI. So very interesting. And a New Jersey woman is allowed to display a blank Biden sign. She has multiple ones in her yard. It was defended as free speech. We have a lot still coming up. Stick with us.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe.
Back in 2009, during the so-called Great Recession, the president asked me to be in charge of managing that piece, then President Trump. Excuse me, Freudian slip. That was the last president. He caused, anyway, that was President Obama when I was vice president.
I still don't know what he was saying there, Freudian slip. That's not really what Freudian means.
No, not really.
I know people say it, but unless, okay, I'm not going to say what I was thinking in my head. Goodness. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Ooh, DanaLash.com. Make sure you go subscribe to Chapter and Verse. By the way, check out my Spotify bumper tracks list. All kinds of good stuff there. That's not what Freudian means. It's not. If you mess up, it's not Freudian. I don't want to have the discussion of what it means. Right? If your kids ask you, just be like, it has to do with the psychoanalytical theories of Sigmund Freud. That's what it means.
There it is. Uh-huh. There it is.
There's your answer. Mom, what does Freudian mean? Oh, it has to do with the psychoanalytical theories of Sigmund Freud. That's what it means. What? And then they'll just stop listening because you said too many words. So it's okay. So, it's not Freudian. Good heavens. I really wanted to kind of start the show off with that, but I feel like I should get an award for making it this long in the broadcast.
Congratulations.
I know. Thank you. Thank you. I need a trophy for that. I don't care if it's a little plastic trophy. It counts. It's okay. It's not movie quality. All right. So I just saw this too, and I wanted to I'm gonna pull this up. Bear with me because I'm seeing all kinds of craziness. So first off, you have Pelosi directing police to arrest vaccinated people that aren't wearing masks. You had to be vaccinated to even work in the Capitol. And now, can you be arrested for not having either? If it's not written, it's a loophole. I'm just saying. Isn't that how that works? Yeah, they're the D.C. Department of Corrections apparently locked out a number of members of Congress from looking at some of the January 6th people who are being kept into. I mean, I've got like she's apparently having a tantrum today. And I'm reading you a collection of mask stuff here. You also have Nevada saying you're going to have to wear masks. Governor Ralph Blackface Northam. Yeah. He says we all need to say a prayer for my wit on Twitter here, because I really want to be caustic and just talking about face coverings and things that are costumey to Ralph Northam. He says all Virginians should consider wearing a mask in public indoor settings where there's an increase of COVID, as the new CDC guidance recommends. It's not a requirement, but a recommendation. I just taking everything I have right now because so I can move on and actually get to all this other stuff. And then we have, what was that? I just shared with you, this was reported. I just now saw this. There was another reporter that was discussing how now the on mask mandates, etc., what they're going to be considering for schools and testing. And so this is a CBS News senior White House correspondent. She tweets that updated testing guidance, if a fully vaccinated person has a known exposure to someone with suspected or confirmed COVID, CDC recommends getting tested 3 to 5 days after exposure and wearing a mask in public indoor settings for 14 days or until they receive a negative result. So how do they square? I mean, it's up on the CDC website. It still says when you've been fully vaccinated, and it's just people maskless outside and doing whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not even updated. Well, what?
They haven't changed it yet.
So now they're treating people who even got the vaccines as though they're unvaccinated, right? And I see some people even saying, well, the reason why the vaccinated have to wear masks indoors is because of the unvaccinated. Okay, that's not how that works. Because now it also came out that the vaccinated, apparently with the Delta variant, the vaccinated carry it in the same viral load as the unvaccinated. Can we put on tinfoil hats after you're going to play this? This soundbite. This is audio soundbite 7. This was Rand Paul, who I think is the voice right now. He's just giving saying publicly, audibly, what all of us are thinking right now on Fauci and CDC. Listen.
Even the CDC this week admitted, before somebody made them roll it back, but the head of the CDC was on TV saying, if you've been vaccinated, we've discovered that you're not carrying it and you're not transmitting it. This is all good news, but these people can't stand good news because that means you get out from under their thumb and you're allowed to go back to living your life. They don't want you to be free of their mandates. They like the idea of submission because most of these people are at heart big government people.
Mm. That's true. The idea, because they say they want to take this ever, all of this to zero. I mean, it's like I said, like almost a year ago, you're never going to be able to do that with a virus. I mean, you're never going to be able to do that with a virus. I wrote about this. Goodness, this was like back in, I wrote about this on Substack. This was back on November 19th, 2020. I wrote it in a piece. It was titled, I Choose a Free Life. And I said that I'm not going to be lectured to people by people who say that eating in a restaurant while observing health protocols is riskier than shutting down the largest economy in the world. And I think I'm going to link this again for folks because there's a lot of, I have a lot of data in this. This was like one of my earlier newsletters when I had just created my Substack account. But the idea that you're going to be able to just to shut down, as Biden said, the virus. This is not like a military battle. This is a virus. And a virus is something that you do not vanquish. We have viruses that are still with us. And the only thing that you can do is build up immunity. You can be proactive and use prevention, but you have to acclimate. I mean, you just as with chickenpox and polio and all of the other illnesses before this one, and there will be others, there isn't a cure. There's just prevention and acclimation. Overreaction is an enemy and moderation is an ally. I mean, that's the thing. And to be constantly sold that any contraction of the virus, any positive case, is instant death. It has a 99% survivability rate. That's that you cannot fearmonger with statistics like this. And you also can't tell people that you're going to take a virus down to zero. That's never happened. Never. Now, I know a lot of people always try to compare, and I think, who was it? Chuck Schumer, I think, did this too when he was, or not Chuck Schumer, excuse me, Mitch McConnell, when he was, he had spoken, I guess it was last week, and he was talking about comparing this, the coronavirus vaccine and polio. And the difference is that first, well, the polio vaccine, this has been around for quite a long time. It's been around for years and years and years. There's been significant study into this. And it wasn't politicized either. There's another huge difference. The also, moment, yeah.
Also, Kane. I think it's important to note that the survivability rate of polio was
way
much
lower.
Exactly. And we needed a vaccine.
But the thing is that they had time. They didn't politicize it. The survivability rate was way different. So there was a very different kind of, there was a sense of urgency with that. But what's more is that, you know, to compare something that's been around for decades and decades where we know what any kind of adverse reaction would be, we know what any side effect would be, and you know, people have been pretty forthcoming about it, there's a huge difference there. I mean, this, people keep changing the goalposts all the time. And here's the other point I want to make. I understand that in the very beginning, when this came out, and still to some effect, it's brand new. I think the Delta variant is another example of this. These are brand new things, and everybody's trying to rush to ascertain what it is and how to best meet this threat and how to best, you know, reduce in, you know, any kind of bad numbers. But instead of being transparent, people have been politicizing it. Nobody has given any information. Nobody's explained any of this to the public. You can't very well get mad at people for not getting vaccinated, and shame on anybody. I don't care what your political affiliation is. You need a talking to if you're one of those people out there trying to shame anybody for not wanting to, you know, flip the switch because they have not been given enough information. That's the thing. Goodness. People just want transparency here. It's ridiculous. But it does. And even like I said, when you have the Washington Post asking these questions, good heavens. Now, here's something else to keep in mind. I saw this looking at China here. This came out from Radio Free Europe. China used vaccines and trade to get Ukraine to drop support for Xinjiang scrutiny. And of course, the Xinjiang province, that is where they have all those detention camps, right? That's where they have all of the Uyghurs imprisoned. They said that Ukraine succumbed to Chinese pressure to remove its name from an international statement about human rights abuses in China's western Xinjiang region by threatening to limit trade and withhold access to vaccines. This is what Ukrainian officials and lawmakers are telling Radio Free Europe. They had originally, Ukraine did, joined more than 40 other countries. This was on June 22nd until they withdrew their signature 2 days later from a statement at the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva that called for China to allow independent observers immediate access to Xinjiang, where Beijing is operating the detention camps, where you have over a million Uyghurs and Kazakhs and other minorities imprisoned there. Now, this was first originally reported in, I think this was in May that it was first reported by the AP, citing Western diplomats because they were saying that there was some pressure happening here. So you see how this, they're already trying to throw their weight around. Very much so. And no one's, you know, while everyone's arguing over the mask stuff here, this kind of stuff is happening. Now, speaking of China, here's another thing that I find concerning, too. And we'll talk more about this. Do you know that there are so many businesses that have refused to stop doing business with Beijing, particularly as it relates to the 2022 Olympics, which I don't think the United States should be participating in? Absolutely not. Because of not just the human rights abuses, but the CCP, I mean, China's official stance has been to threaten Japan with first use of nukes already. The cyber attacks that they've carried out, the way that they have just mowed over people in Hong Kong. The Winter Games are supposed to begin there in 7 months. It should not be happening. We're going to talk more about this, but even what's more, you have Coca-Cola who is refusing to stop doing business. They're sponsoring the games. We'll talk about that and more coming up. We got a Florida man on the way that you do not want to miss.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. And coming up in our next hour, my friend Steve Gutowski joins me. Because David Chipman, remember how we always said that all gun control is racist and that's ultimately the roots of gun control? Hoo boy, wait until you hear about what that has to do with David Chipman, the Biden nominee for ATF director. I'm just going to lay that on the table for you, right? That's like the appetizer that you can't eat yet because you're waiting for the other person to get back from, you know, to sit down so y'all can say grace. So just put that up on the table. Okay. All right, you guys know what it's time for. Let's go. I'm really into this story. Let's kick it into some Florida man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida man.
Oh my gosh, some of these I can't. Okay, let's do this first one. Let's keep it simple. So this first story that we have here. A Florida man is sought by police for stealing a WWE title belt and Sheamus's necklace. The guy could crush your head like a nut in his arm. Why would you do that? So a Florida man is being sought by police. He stole equipment from WWE star Sheamus. It was an unknown suspect. He entered the USF Yangling Center. I can't say it. I have to say Yangling. Like they do in Star Wars, because a meme got into my head and I cannot pronounce that any other way now. I used to be able to say that, but I can't now because thank you, memes. Anyway, he got inside this building and took several items belonging to like three title belts signed by a bunch of stars, a prop cross necklace, worn by Sheamus. Walks right out, doesn't care, looks right at the camera, just doesn't. Tampa Bay Crime Stoppers, they were offering a $5,000 reward for any info leading to the guy's capture. Who does that? Like, who does that kind Florida of stuff? Man. Florida man, yeah. So a Collier County, Florida, a 57-year-old man was arrested Wednesday and faces an indecent exposure charge after he did something he shouldn't have done at the Naples Pier. Let's put it like that. A woman said that she said hello to Juan Carlobos as she walked past him on the pier, but he didn't respond. And then she was like going out there to take photos or whatever, and she walked past him a second time leaving and said hello again, but he was silent. So she got some breakfast, and then she saw him standing near a pay station by her car. And she thought, okay, well, you know, maybe being friendly is the best kind of offense here. So she said hello again to him, and he watched her. She got into her car. And then that's when he leaned up and then tried to do a very uninvited show and tell. Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, so she immediately, like, reported to police. She watched him as he went to his vehicle because she tried to drive away. And she sent the tag number to police, and, of course, they... Yeah, he's arrested and faces an indecent exposure charge. Don't be gross. Don't be a pervy gross person, and everything is going to be okay. All right? That's how it went. Oh, man. We have a lot more on the way. Steve Gutowski will join us coming up in our next hour. And the latest, not just with coronavirus, but we got some wokery here. Stick with us.
We can deal with many things in this country at the same time. And if something happens, it doesn't mean that you go, oh, well, what about this? What about that? Can't we focus on what happened on January 6th where our democracy was in jeopardy?
We should be.
This weren't just people who were exercising, some of them were exercising their right to protest. Mm-hmm. Others went way too far. That's a different story than trying to undermine democracy and stop an election.
Okay, no one was trying to stop an election. That's the stupidest claim that's ever been made, and we got to stop that in its tracks. I'm done with the disingenuousness. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure that you download the Odyssey app. You can stream our program there as well. And also make sure to sign up for my newsletter. Go to danalash.com. Go up to the top where it says subscribe, and that's how you get to it. And no apologies, 5 p.m. Central, 6 Eastern on the First TV. So that's a silly... That's first off, that's ridiculous. And I love that that's the new talking point. It's really dumb, but that's the new talking point, that they were trying to undermine an election. That no, because it was pretty much, and I said this the day after, that it was about the certification process. All of that was just kind of a formality. There were people who thought that they could pause the certification process at that point to verify ballots from certain states. And those were like the mail-in ballots or the ballots that didn't have signatures, the ones that were postmarked, sent after the election, all that stuff. It was not about undoing an election. And if Don Lemon, if he can even find two people where they're stating that it was about completely undoing an election entirely and holding Congress hostage at that point, you know, a bunch of unarmed people, it's really kind of hard, I guess, to carry out a coup or insurrection just going up with, you know, your phone and your buffalo head, you know, headdress. It's really kind of hard, I guess, just to take those things to go up and do an insurrection and a coup entirely unarmed. But this...
Undermining democracy, though.
No, that was not about that at all. And that was, I'm just so tired of people just lying and misrepresenting that. Because from what I heard from people, the ones that engaged in unprotected speech, for which they are being charged, and some of them are still being held in jail, which I understand. Go after people and charge people who committed assault and engaged in property destruction, etc., because it's not a protected form of protest. But is there a reason why we are holding some people indefinitely for things that might be considered misdemeanors? Is there a reason for that? And then barring any access to those individuals from their elected representatives? That's a genuine question to ask.
I think it's optics.
I mean, and furthermore, Don Lemon's completely incorrect because it says on BLM's, literally Antifa is about undermining the entire republic. And BLM actually has this stuff listed on their website, the Marxist organization. So that's wrong. It's just he sanctions leftist violence. I mean, he just needs to be comfortable with saying it. Don't dance around it and be a coward. Just come out and say that you sanction violence if it advances your narrative or interest. I just wish people could, you know, have the brass to actually go out and say what they really mean instead of trying to dance around it with this junk. No. That's, you know, that's what it is. That's it. Period. So the whole thing is it's not a different story. And there was nothing from him. And I have this in the one big post that I did. There was nothing from him on a lot of the, like, the attacks on the federal courthouses that were on the West Coast, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing. All right. So Biden is asking Congress to extend the federal eviction moratorium. This from the Wall Street Journal. The CDC moratorium on evictions of tenants is scheduled to expire on Saturday, and they would like for that to be extended. I say no, and I don't think it should have ever been done so in the first place. And I mean, yeah, if you want to sit here and go, well, we're in a pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, here's the thing. Do you realize that when people own property, just because the people who own the property don't live in the property, they still have to pay this thing called property taxes. And property taxes can be pretty high. They still have to pay that. They still have to pay a tax on all of that. And they have to pay for any kind of upkeep, etc. Where was the moratorium if this was really an issue that was dear to Democrats' hearts? They would have followed it up with a moratorium on property tax for any property affected by any kind of eviction moratorium. Because they said that they're trying to distribute $47 billion in federal of our money to tenants who can't pay rent because the government shut down the economy. So you have the government that enacted commercial eminent domain of any commerce, any activity in commerce, and made it to where people can't pay their rent, and they, the government, are expecting the people who own the property. And I get that it's very, very popular for bartenders from Brooklyn to believe that, or the Bronx rather, to believe that everybody who owns property and has tenants is a frillionaire, and that's not the case at all. But you have tenants who can't pay rent because of the government seizure of commercial activity. So the people who own the property are expected to take the hit for the government stupidity. So what happens when these people are now having to pay for someone else to live in their property? Because that ultimately is what it is. You realize that utilities and all that are wrapped up in rent usually, right? Is it fair for someone who owns property and who is judged as being rich by people who don't know any better and they're struggling like everyone else? Is it fair that are those people going to get a moratorium on mortgage? Do they get a moratorium on paying mortgage payments?
Or a moratorium on repairs and upkeep. I mean, people don't understand what it is to be a property owner. They're complaining about this.
That's a good point, Kane. This is garbage, and I reject it outright. No, if Democrats really cared about tenants, they would have called for a moratorium on mortgage payments for the property that the tenants live in. They would have had a moratorium on property tax for the property in which the tenants live in, but they're not doing any of those things. So what happens if that property owner, because of the government shutdown of the economy And now that property owner is having to pay for people to live for free in the property that they own and are expected to still pay mortgage on and are expected to still pay property tax on. So what is going to happen when the bank decides to seize that property because the government made it to where that property owner cannot fulfill their payment obligations? So what then happens to the tenants? This is garbage. And the people who propose this should be ashamed of themselves. And they don't make it. It aggravates me. Because Democrats are preparing to, they're pretending to care about this, but they're not actually. They're making the situation worse. There has not been a single proposal from a Democrat. And I know this. You would not believe the Google alerts I have set up. They haven't even been talking about it. There's not a single anything from any person in that party where they've talked about limiting or pausing in any way any of the things I just said as a way to accompany that, because they're not serious people. They're just doing this as an optic. They don't care. Yeah, that's just like people really don't. People are just really not caring about science for all of this stuff either. It's just I don't know. So you have Capitol Police who are told to arrest House staffers who aren't wearing masks. You have the Washington Post that's calling out the CDC. And you have the CDC saying, well, the problem is the unvaccinated. But wait a minute. How can you say that the problem is the unvaccinated, but also the problem is people who are vaccinated who can still get the Delta variant that apparently carried around in the same level of viral load as people who are unvaccinated? Explain that one. Oh, they can't. And then to add to it, you have the ongoing fight over the not really infrastructure bill. So this, I wanted to pull this up because this is now, I guess they're playing identity, the race card and all of this too. Either sign this bill or you're a racist. Cori Bush, AOC, and others, they're saying that the Senate infrastructure negotiations are racist. And I think that's this, just go ahead and let an asteroid come. Seriously, I mean, we're just beyond hope. So they said that they're not inviting members of color to negotiations. Basically, she's saying that they're not inviting her to negotiations. And that's pretty much because she is not a senior member. And also she doesn't raise money, et cetera, et cetera. And she's really going after Kristen Sinema. I also think AOC, honestly, seems like a little bit envious of the attention that Kristen Sinema gets. Kristen Sinema does not go out there and she does not try to court the cameras. She just does what she does, and that's it. She doesn't support the $3.5 trillion bill. She says it should be scaled back. She is not incorrect. The whole thing should be scrapped, quite frankly, and if they're going to actually support infrastructure, then support infrastructure. I mean, she's being consistent on this. Oh, they're livid at her. And so AOC she's gone after her, and like Cori Bush even says, is this the bipartisan infrastructure group or the audience at a Kid Rock concert? And if Cori Bush and AOC are saying that the Democrat Party is racist, wow, okay. Welcome to the world of knowledge. I guess I love how they don't really actually think out their attacks, which is kind of funny. I mean, yeah, so that's, what did you expect? Good heavens. It's the historically racist party. Okay. The problem is, though, is that they're not progressives in the House of Representatives. They do not have the number of years in the House. They don't have the same level of seniority. And quite frankly, they come from smaller districts than some of the people that are sitting on this infrastructure committee. They come from way smaller districts. AOC's district is like a drop in the bucket compared to the size of districts from some of the people that are sitting on this thing. And like some of these other Democrats. I mean, regardless of whether you like them or not, Their districts are smaller and they don't have the seniority. All these people that are on this thing, they've been in office for actually quite some time. Kristen Sinema is Mark Kelly. Mark Kelly's the one who's been in there the least amount of time, but he comes from a pretty big district. So I don't know. It's goofy and it's just so dumb. Everyone's always like, well, I didn't get my way. So racism. Wow. We have more to come. Stephen Gutowski is going to join us. He's got a piece up that gets into, well, I don't see how David Shipman, I don't see how this guy's going to even make it to a Senate confirmation at this point. We'll talk about that here coming up.
From the dusty mesa, a looming shadow grows, hidden in the branches of the poison creoso. She twines her spines up slowly towards the boiling sun, and when I touched her skin, my
Dana gives you the meat and potatoes news of the day. None of that tofu news. More like bacon with a side of hash browns news. The news you want, the way you want it. The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
California and Nevada governors are touring a site of a huge blaze. Residents are urged to conserve energy as conditions worsen. You hear that, Californians? Not only are you supposed to conserve electricity and not charge your electric cars, but apparently now you're supposed to conserve all other energy as well, you know, because Gavin Newsom has done such a great job at making sure that the state of California is prepared, everybody. Hey! You know, I mean, I'm glad my friend Larry Elder is doing well there in the polling. So, him and Newsom and Steve Sisolak, they're calling for more federal firefighting assistance in dealing with that. Also, this loneliness is driving more older adults to use opioids and prescription drugs. So we already have a record high overdose fatality rate right now. But, you know, we're going to go ahead and lock everything down again, perhaps, maybe. This is also ridiculous. But it's incredibly sad because now it's not just, you know, younger people. In fact, a study surveyed 6,000 seniors across the United States and discovered that half of them say that they're lonely, and they said that there's also a huge link between the number of those who are considered elderly who are lonely and then the abuse of prescription drugs, Valium, Xanax, Ambien, things like that. Really incredibly sad. All brought on by a government-enforced lockdown. Awful. All right. Oh, also, maybe make sure to check your spices. There's a recall of some McCormick spices over salmonella. I'm actually going to go check mine, too, later tonight. Stay tuned. Stephen Gutowski up next.
The weird, the unusual, and the hilarious. Check out Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
The frustration is in the United States, the freedom of speech and to say things is largely cannot be regulated. But yes, we have to do more to monitor hate speech on the internet, but we also have to do more to curb that same speech being presented by our president and other elected public officials. The FBI, other federal agencies have a tough job responding to these threats when they don't currently have the authority to remove weaponry just because people are saying hateful things.
Wow. David Shipman, you want to talk about saying hateful things?
Right.
Just saying. You always have to sit back and appreciate a cell phone. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here, danalash.com. So my friend Steve Gutowski, and I'm pulling this story up because I have a few things up here. So my friend Steve Gutowski, it's a new site called thereload.com, and this is one of the things that I is on my reading list, so it should be on yours. Listen to this headline. Let's just keep in mind what David Shipman just said. Now listen to Gutowski's headline here. ATF agents corroborate existence of racial complaint against Biden director nominee, fear reprisals, and hit to agency effectiveness. Gutowski reports that multiple ATF sources back up the existence of this complaint. This apparently came up earlier. We're going to ask him about this. That alleges that Biden's nominee to lead the ATF, David Chipman, made racist comments during his previous stint at the agency, at the ATF. Joining us right now on his report is Steve Gutowski. Stephen Gutowski over at TheReload.com. Good to see you, my friend. I like your radio corner, too. It's very nice. I appreciate that. So good to see you. So first off, because this is a complaint, the complaint itself and news of it isn't new. But what is new is the fact that now other people are apparently confirming that it does exist. Tell us about this.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's a FOIA lawsuit to try and bring these complaints. There's actually several complaints against David Chipman, but one of them relates to a situation where a black agent in the ATF accused him of saying that the number of black agents up for promotion was unusual, and he didn't think it was right, and that the black agents must have cheated in order for them to have gotten up for these promotions. And there was an accusation that came out that that's what was said, and it was in the news a couple weeks ago, but it was just one source. It was this new group, AAF, that's been scrutinizing a lot of Biden nominees, and there wasn't anyone else backing it up. So I thought, you know, I would look into this. None of the
like
other media
outlets
have done that. Right. And so, you know, I started asking around. It's not easy to get ATF agents on record to get them to talk to you about things, as you might imagine. But I was able to find three, two of which corroborated that they had heard this story before this lawsuit was ever filed, before this became public knowledge. So this is something that has been going around the ATF for years now, since he was in Detroit at the time when this happened. He was a supervisor in Detroit. And so, you know, the very fact is that it exists. We don't know the details. We don't know, obviously, whether or not it's true or not. I mean, but the complaint exists, and I think it would be fair for the public to be able to see it before he gets voted on to be confirmed to the director.
Now, that's a really good point on that as well. Talking to Stephen Gutowski over at TheReload.com, who has a report out about not just this on this complaint against Biden's ATF nominee, David Chipman, ATF chief, but also now there are three agents that are corroborating this. Now, you just, because it is incredible. I mean, the ATF doesn't routinely or ever really remark on anything at all. So the fact that you spoke to three people who actually were saying, yes, this does exist. And this is something that everybody is aware of. That to me is incredibly significant because not only does it suggest maybe that he, you know, probably maybe there's something to this, where there's smoke, there's fire, but it also kind of sounds like there's like some effort to maybe undermine this guy from taking over the ATF from within. Do you think that, I mean, does it seem like he has a lot of support within the agency?
No, I don't think he does. I mean, that's the other thing that these agents told me. All three of them were concerned about the effect that his confirmation could have on the ability of the ATF to actually run down cases. The ATF actually requires cooperation from a lot of FFLs, licensed gun dealers, to get tips to make cases. And if you put someone who is an activist, a gun control activist, a paid gun control activist, David Chipman, since he left the ATF, has been working directly for a number of gun control groups. He still works for one today, Giffords.
Yeah.
And they're concerned that his presence at the top of the agency could have a detrimental impact on the relationships that agents have in the field with FFLs, the people who bring them, you know, tips on somebody might be, you know, running guns, essentially, because, you know, and I think they also are concerned about his credibility within the agency, because most ATF agents, I mean, obviously the ATF gets a lot of demonization from gun rights advocates, and understandably so in some cases, obviously, but most of your average field agents, and this has been my experience, are pretty pro-gun people. They like guns themselves. They own a lot of guns. And so Chipman is a bit of an outlier here in that when he was at the agency, because two of these agents actually worked with him.
Yeah, they and you got names on record, ATF, which is significant too.
Yes, Vasquez was one former agent who worked with Chipman while he was in the ATF years ago. And you know, both of them said that he wasn't this anti-gun guy when he was working there. And it wasn't until after he left and started working with these gun control groups that he started to espouse these sorts of points of view, where he wants stricter gun laws. He wants new gun bans on things like the AR-15. He wants stuff that's more extreme than what Senator Dianne Feinstein from California wants. So, you know, there's sort of this distrust that exists with some of these agents when it comes to this guy and who he really is. You know, there's sort of a lot of people have in the ATF have opinions about each other. Not a lot of people really know how to pin this guy down, like what he really believes and what he really thinks. And they're worried about him.
Yeah, no, and you make a really good point talking with Stephen Gutowski over at TheReload.com, because if he's been working, well, and still working with a gun control advocacy group, the Giffords organization, I mean, that is pretty significant, because as you said, you know, these ATF agents, they have to work with these FFLs, these federal firearms licensees. These are the storefronts that everybody knows. They have to work with those people regularly. And if there's criminal activity, sometimes the FFL, it's within their discretion. They can say this, you know, this seems sketchy, or, you know, I'm not really sure what to think about this, you know, what just happened here. And they can reach out to whatever agent is in their area, and they can work together, because they want to also make sure that bad, dangerous people don't abuse or with their criminal activity do anything that would jeopardize our rights. And that Chipman being at the head of all of that, because of all of his comments, he's a chatty Cathy. That makes it so difficult. And that's the other thing. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. Maybe I didn't pay enough attention to what all of the other ATF chiefs have previously said. But this guy coming into it, he's given so many interviews and has talked so much about gun control and really demonized. And I'm not using that word to exaggerate. I mean, he's like talking about regular folks like they're Tiger King. He actually said that. That's incredibly troublesome. Has there ever been anyone who's been that, to your knowledge, that politicized themselves before even going into the ATF?
No, I don't believe so. Not as director. Obviously, it's only become a confirmed position over the last couple decades here, and there's only been one actually confirmed director in that time, which is sort of one of the arguments that Democrats use for why he should be confirmed. But the fact is, he's much more political than most other ATF directors have been. I mean, it's a regulatory agency. The point is to regulate the gun industry, not to try and shut it down.
And make policy.
Right. And so the issue for a lot of these agents was like they view themselves, at the very least, whether other people think of ATF agents, many ATF agents, especially field agents, people out in the street arresting people for violent gun crimes, they view themselves as nonpartisan. They try to act in a way that's not hyperpartisan. And so Chipman's role in his time after the ATF goes completely against that. And so these guys don't want to see him come in and be made the director of the agency. Like it sends the wrong message to the FFLs that they work with on a regular basis to try and do their actual jobs.
Yeah. I'm talking with Stephen Gutowski over at TheReload.com. So how do you think this is going to play out with his process, this whole nomination process? I mean, I know so far there's been a lot of contention over it. I don't know, honestly, if he's got the support in the Senate to make this happen. What does something like this do to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be something that gives some of those Democrats who haven't come out to support him yet, Angus King of Maine, Joe Manchin in West Virginia, John Tester of Montana, like they're already on the fence about him. And any, you know, more accusations like this coming out are not going to be good for his nomination. The longer he waits in limbo, the less likely it is he's going to get confirmed. And I'll actually break a little bit of news for you here. I'll have more of this over at TheReload.com in a few minutes here. But Senate Republicans on the Judiciary Committee are actually calling for new hearings on Chipman because of these revelations. They want to see these complaints. They want to see if there's, you know, what's in these complaints and whether or not they disqualify him from becoming director.
It's just amazing to me that with the, as long as these complaints have been present and apparently well circulated within the ATF, that didn't come up in his previous testimony before the Senate. I mean, that's kind of wild to me that they did not have that the first time. I mean, just, you know, it signals some kind of effort at least to keep that under wraps. Wow. And so there, do you think they'll get that? Well, I would imagine, will they get that hearing? I would imagine they would have to. I especially as this news gets out further.
They might. Obviously, it's a 50-50 Senate, so they have a little more sway than usual as a minority party. But you might also see Democrats withdraw his nomination. I wouldn't be surprised to see that either. Even Trump withdrew his nomination even when Republicans had control of the Senate because the nominee wasn't going to pass. And so if it becomes clear to Senate leadership on the Democratic side that Chipman is not going to pass, I would imagine they won't even try to put him up for a vote.
Yeah. Last quick question for you. Talking with Stephen Gutowski over at TheReload.com, and he just said, I'll have a piece up about this coming up, that Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee are asking for another hearing based on this confirmed complaint existing against ATF nominee David Chipman. If it's not Chipman, do they just go back to, because I know that they've had an unconfirmed Raimondo, I believe, unconfirmed at ATF, and that's sort of kind of how it's been for a bit. I mean, do they just go back to that status quo, or do they have someone else waiting in the wings, and if who would be that person?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll stick with an acting director for now. They can have acting directors for up to a year. It has to be somebody who already works there, so Chipman can't be made mm-hmm. acting director. And then it wouldn't be surprising if they tried someone a little bit less controversial than Chipman, right. Maybe a career person who hasn't actively worked for gun control groups. And then you could probably see someone like that actually get confirmed. But we'll have to wait and see what happens with Chipman first.
Man, this is crazy that they didn't even have this at the first hearing. Oh, my goodness. Great job, Stephen. Great job. TheReload.com is the site. Go and check it out. And he will have an update to that on ATF nominee David Chipman here in just a bit. Stephen, good to see you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, take care. We have more to come, folks.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Make sure you go subscribe to the newsletter. So two things. First and foremost, I've been officially broken because I'm going back and forth with friends over whether or not this poodle picture that I'm looking at actually is a square haircutted poodle. That's not even a real term, but whatever. And then I just discovered a whole world of poodle grooming. And I did not know people did this with poodles. Did you guys know this? Like legit cutting the poodle's hair into they look like they're Minecraft dogs, where it's entirely boxy and square. A real thing. I am now officially obsessed with this. I did not know you could do this.
Because you're right, it doesn't look real when they're done like that. When they're groomed like that, it looks like something you'd win at the circus.
But the legit one though, that's not a real dog. That's not a real. No, we're arguing over one picture.
I pulled up the story. It looks like a real dog. Did you see the side profile?
I saw the side profile, but where's his nostrils? I think that's a fake dog. I think it's a fake dog to show a haircut.
I think the resolution on that picture wasn't high enough.
It's just conveniently too pixelated when you blow it up to try to see if that dog has nostrils.
Right.
But they they'll cut the dog's hair on their face like in a perfect tiny little circle that makes it's hysterical. And now I feel like I need to have one of these just so I could cut its hair. I would spend all day grooming this thing. Just it would be, you know, the girls, ladies, you're out there, especially you Gen X ladies. Do you remember those Barbie shoulder things that you could get and you could do their makeup and all that stuff? It's like that, but it's a dog. I mean, you don't put makeup on it. You can cut its hair and do all this stuff. Like they have poodles that they groom to look like buffalo.
Wouldn't you need like tools like a square and like a ruler? I mean, you would need to. I mean, if you're truly going to be cubed like this dog is groomed, you're going to have to measure that.
I feel like I got a new hobby now in my mind.
It's like an engineering feat.
Oh my gosh, this is like so. I did not even know this is a thing. Oh my god. Oh, and then now I'm at the level of people who have their hair cut like their poodle's hair. Oh great, no. That's where we are in America.
Oh,
did this happen over lockdown, or is this? I'm just, you know, I can get it if it's over lockdown.
Where's that sweet meteor of death when we need it?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. What? And I don't know. I kind of this one though is amazing. Oh my gosh. See, I think the one we were talking about was the one, I think that was like a dummy poodle to demonstrate different haircuts on poodles. That I can't believe we're here. All right. God bless America. All right. today in Stupidity
Although
came.
Although that is kind of stupid in my opinion. Rep Sean Casten was on the floor saying stuff like this.
So listen up, y'all, because this is it. So the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, better known as the F to the E to the R to the C, is one of the most important federal agencies to fight climate change. And if I'm doing this right, one that a few more of you are now keeping track of. Having a well air-conditioned home when it's hot. That's Fercalicious.
Stop it.
Getting your electricity from the lowest cost reliable source, Fercalicious. An electric transmission system that keeps everything from electric vehicles to steel mills running with zero carbon electricity, Fercalicious.
Cringe.
There you go. Thanks, Sean Casten.
Folks, I'll be on Hannity tonight. Check Facebook for updates, subscribe to the newsletter, and I will be back with you tomorrow on Friday.